It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast, episode 413. Never good luck in your hearts or your soul or your mind. I'm your host, Justin Wersch. With me, as always, is always a lucky charm. He's a four-leaf clover with an extra clover for extra luck. He's a rabbit foot with the whole rabbit attached. He's the lucky charm. The purple horseshoes. The magical rainbows.
Okay, here it comes. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. You let me know when you're ready for the show.
Shamrock.
Shake.
The cowboy boot. I don't know what the rest of it is. The KevinMiller.com. Jump, press the circle button, Kevin. How are you today? We're having some chats.
I'm having a good time. Brooke wants to call in sometime. We should definitely have Brooke on the show. She's been such a cornerstone of the Facebook page because Bradley and a few other people.
She's the Danica Patrick of our show.
I'm going to disagree with that because I think she has a lot more class than Danica.
How dare you, sir? Danica Patrick drinks wine.
Isn't she the one on the GoDaddy ads?
Yes.
Yeah, no. Brooke, you don't listen to
GoDaddy.
No.
Come on, Brooke.
How many years has she been doing
this? What
those
would
ads?
You do for $9.95 a month? Oh,
earlier this week, I got to talk all about how I was angry at Best Buy and the PS Vita. If you didn't hear that episode, definitely go back and listen to it.
Right, you get to hear some definite Kevin rage. That was awesome.
Yeah, when was the last time I've been mad on our show?
I don't think you've ever been mad on our show. Not like that. Yeah, that was intense. I just was like, mad. This is the first time that I'm like, you need to not say a thing. You need to shut your face. I didn't have that thought.
Well, whenever you're listening to this, I want to talk about the good things about the PS Vita because there's a lot of good things about
it. I'm going to come out of what we were just talking about with the idea that I don't understand why they do that stuff. Kevin, you have to go back. If you're listening in order, then
you
congratulations
can recap,
on...
Recap in 30
seconds.
Well,
he had a bunch of issues going on with his Vita where they kept offering him, upselling him on warranties. And it's like, come on. There are people who fall for it, which obviously is the reason why it happens. There's got to be somebody who's trying to save the Nigerian prince. There's got to be somebody who wants to make their penis larger because they got a random email. Like, that just has to happen. You know what I mean?
That one's not fake.
What?
What? The Nigerian prince.
Oh. Dang it. That's the one I responded to. So he had all these problems, and I just feel like everybody knows. Everybody knows that the only reason they offer you that is because it's a way for them to make more money. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way for the distributor to make extra money. Because as we've discussed in the game, that, you know, the places like a Best Buy or a GameStop, they don't make their money on selling new games. There's little to no profit margin
for
them.
Which I get.
It's all on resale, and then now the developers are cutting into the resale value by doing things like your download code so you can't resell the game without paying extra for it. And they're going to, you know what I mean, they're going to make it all irrelevant anyway. So
I just feel like I'm bleeding money. It's like going to Hawaii owning a PS Vita. Because if you've ever gone to Hawaii and had to pay for it yourself, it's like you can't walk outside without looking at a bird for $20.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about PS Vita. You're like, oh, it's so beautiful and scenic. It's really cool. Now, if you want to do anything else, just to get there. Actually, this is a perfect analogy. Because to get to Hawaii, it costs you hundreds of dollars because you have to fly there. There's no other way in. So just to get to be a part of the party. Even that's going to cost you a ton. It costs you hundreds of dollars. And then when you get it, you're like, oh, did you want to play games on this?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be... I'm sorry. Did you want to eat food while you're on this island? Oh, that's going to be a lot more. That's going to be $80 a meal.
Yeah, but yours is also like, oh, hey, this feature that we said would be a great thing to have on there.
It doesn't
all we
exist,
said was
yet.
It was a great idea.
Yeah. Like, all we said is that we put it in here and we will definitely create a patch in about a year.
Yeah. So here's my thing. I feel like here's what I'm going to start doing. So when they try to upsell me something, except for maybe like a food situation, like if you're at a, like if I'm at a like a, like a waiter, because I feel like that's part of
right.
the expectation
where
they're going to tell you about specials, they're going to suggest things, and a lot of times that's worked out. But what I'm not talking about is never have I pulled up to a McDonald's drive-thru and had somebody say, would you like to try our new crunchy oatmeal or whatever it is that they're pushing that week, and said,
that sounds terrible. Who sells crunchy oatmeal?
McDonald's.
Is that uncooked oatmeal?
Morgan Spurlock's throwing them off the rails.
Would you like to buy some oatmeal out of a box? We literally went to the store, brought it here, and we're going to hand you you a handful of that for three times the cost of it in the store because you bought it in McDonald's wrapper.
Would you like to buy some McHoney Nut Cheerios? No, thank you. How about some McGrape Nuts?
Because you can get like a McOreo shake. Like, did you just take a thing that is trademarked and put your own trademark on it?
Listen, man, do you want it or not? So here's the thing. Like, that doesn't happen. Also, this new thing where you call the, which is hilarious because they sponsor the show, but this is for their own good. When you call a GameStop and you say, hey, you just call them because you're like, oh my gosh, that's right, Mass Effect 3 is coming out. Yeah. I want to know if they still have some or it came out and I didn't notice, you know, whatever. So you call them and they're like, hello, this is Sean. You can buy or sell your new video games if you have Xbox. I'll give you a handy in the corner while we look at used video games if you want. I got a Wii controller that's used for $39.99 if that's what you're interested in. It's like, no,
wait,
no.
Wait, what was that thing?
I'm sorry, what?
I could have swore, you know what, I'll be there in 20.
We got Brooke. She's got a kissing booth. If you want to come out for 2 minutes, $2 an hour, whatever you got to do. Are you going to go, Daddy? Go,
Bradley
Daddy.
Would drive there.
Here's what. And then this thing of upselling and all that stuff. So I'm going to say when that happens to me, I'm going to say stop it.
Well,
as soon as it happens.
Now, you've never gone through the drive-thru and the new burger that Carl's Jr. is pushing, which is out of L.A., Hollywood, by the way. All three of them are gone. Carl's Jr., if you'd come out there, like, would you like to try the new Angus Western Cheeseburger Deluxe?
Never.
And you've never, I've driven up excited to, like, that's why I came.
Right. But
and you've never been like, that's what I want, actually.
But it's more harm than good. You see what I'm saying? There are more people who are there because they love a Western bacon cheeseburger, and that's why they're pulling up. Or they want a good famous star. That's my burger
choice. This is what we were talking about last week. It's not that guy's fault. It's somebody. What you need to do is write a letter
but
to Carl Jr.
As long as there's, because here's what happens. Here's what I think happens. If he is going to be, he has to have an opportunity, something to go back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a good example of this, but it can't pop into my brain. But he has to have something to go back to and say, every time I try to tell somebody when I pick up the phone, hello, thank you for calling GameStop. You know, Brooke has got a kissing booth here. You know, everybody tells me, stop it.
Yeah.
Everybody that calls in is saying, stop it.
Yeah,
I just want this, right? Then eventually
but
it's going to be
gonna
like...
But is that going to happen? Like, you saying we're going to create a campaign of people to say, just treat me like a human being, please?
Yeah. Essentially, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say
that
until we figuratively, not literally, but figuratively tell them to GTFO, as I learned last week, what that means, then until we tell them that, then it's always going to be nothing but extreme Disney from them.
That's all.
We get the smiles on the faces, and we get them telling us, here, this is why I buy this. You're burning your... I'm saving you, but stop it.
Yep.
And then when they say, what? This is nothing. What?
Oh, well, no. You have to either own it or don't own it. You have to stand by.
I'm giving everybody an out. I'm saying... Because all you got to do is throw them off their balance or whatever. Now, me, I'm going to say, stop it. And then we go, what? I go... I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to save you some energy, buddy.
Yeah,
You're burning calories.
BMW has a really condescending radio ad right now. They say an open letter to a hairpin turn on my morning commute. You've heard these radio ads at all? Well, they're on like K-Rock, so it's not
radio
like
is dead to me. It's all podcasting all the time.
Well, they have an ad where they say an open letter to a fallen tree in the middle of the road. Dear fallen tree in the middle of the road, you were almost a problem, but my new BMW has better brakes than you, so I saw you in time, and I was able to stop. The thing I really want to know is how do you feel about being a coffee table. Thank you, BMW owner, that kind of thing. And so we need to do is do an open letter to these companies. Who are they hitting, like lower middle class, upper lower middle class? Open letter to people who turn my friends and family into robots to treat me like a farm animal. I'm just spitballing it, but that's generally the idea.
Yeah.
You're turning people that I know into machines to do your bidding, to treat me like a stupid sheep to get the money and the wool off my back like I don't know it's there.
Yes. Like let's just be honest with each other.
Except for that I need the wool on my back to eat.
Yeah.
And you're taking it out of my hands because you think that you deserve it more. Because
that's the part that I don't like. I don't like the idea that they think that I don't know what's going on.
But see, that's the difference is that you do and most don't.
I don't think so.
We are in a small percentile of intelligent people.
I don't agree at all.
Maybe
you are. I will give you
I'm
that.
I'm telling you.
I know me.
Listen.
I've seen what I watch on television.
That's true.
I've seen what I don't read.
That's very true.
I've seen what I don't listen to. I even heard what I just said. and I know for a fact
brilliant
that I am not in the short percentile percentage of intelligent people. Now, I do, however, understand that they're like, all I see waste. That's what I see. Mm-hmm. I see wasted energy. Like, another thing I want to rail against is the sign twirlers. Like, I know that it's become a gimmick.
Oh, no, those guys are great. No. I think that if you're going to do something like that, you find somebody that can develop a skill and a trade that's interesting. Because that's athletic. It's aerobatic. There are people that do
right,
some awesome
but it's,
things.
They're street performers that aren't getting tips. Because
but I'm okay
they're
with
twirling
it.
That sign so much, you can't even read it. It's 90% of the time, it's upside down.
Nah, the good ones know how to do it. They make you pay attention, and then they show you the sign.
Tell me, I know condos or homes, right?
They do them.
What about the people that are dressing up as the Statue of Liberty? What are they selling?
Yeah, now that's...
Anybody know?
No, that doesn't get... I do.
What are they selling?
Liberty Insurance. No, it's Liberty Tax, whatever.
See, you don't know.
No, it's the tax service.
No,
it's
but Liberty. Hold on. Yeah, but yeah. You say Liberty Insurance.
If
you say, what is it?
No, it's
Liberty
Tax. I just misspoke. I know full well that it's the Liberty Tax.
What's the burger that you want at Carl's Jr.?
Famous Starwood cheese.
Exactly. See? You know that.
But I saw it on a sign. Yeah, to be fair. Know.
Right.
To be fair.
Was that sign dressed as a Statue of Liberty or spinning at a high rate?
No, I'm not defending the Statue of Liberty guy because those guys are just in Halloween costumes dancing around to get attention.
Serving no purpose.
But I will defend the sign tossers because they have a skill. That takes skill. You can't do it. But you could put on a costume and stand out in a corner.
I also can't breathe fire, but you know what I mean? Like,
that'd be not. Can they spell things out with the fire? Because I think that should be a sign.
If that was the case, if they could make it sustainable,
listen,
where it actually. Because here's the thing. What I'm saying is.
This is the weirdest argument we've ever had.
I know. And I'm loving every minute of it. Let's talk about calories burned versus benefit.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So there's a guy out there spinning a sign who's literally listening to a Walkman because that's where he is in his life.
Or an MP3 because it's not 1989 anymore.
No, I'm saying he's literally listening to a Walkman because that's where he is in his life. He found one somewhere that somebody was selling at a garage store because they got it as a white elephant gift
at
2 years ago.
A garage door?
Yeah. They don't have the house.
Ah, that's sad.
Listen, you thought India was bad. Try coming to the San Fernando Valley. I don't know what I'm talking
about.
Wow. So here's my point.
I don't want to go there.
Is that they're doing all this stuff. They're sweating and they're moving around and everything like that. But I don't walk up to them and go, you know what I need? A freaking condo right now.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I'm driving, I'm cruising down Laurel Canyon. I'm like, gosh, I need a condo. And if there's no resource, you know what I mean? I mean, sure, I could... I don't know, get a real estate agent. Or, I could use this Google thing that could literally tell me who was the third supporting level actor in Shawshank Redemption. But that's not the place I want to go for information. I want somebody who's burning calories. I want to see a show. I want to be bedazzled down to my soul. And then that is who I will purchase a home from.
The bejeweler thing? Yeah. Here's the thing, is that I agree. I don't understand how people afford that cost and if it actually works. Like, how many people need to come in to check out your condos to afford a guy spending a sign or any
Not
of that?
Not a lot.
But
it's the Walkman.
And same thing with the same thing with mailers. Like, who goes, you know what, paper mail, really still very effective.
Right.
You walk into the lobby of my
apartment
complex.
We've had to talk about this on the show. That was a bit from my first album where I said that people get all up in arms about electric cars and what they're doing to the environment and everything like that. And I was like, I go, honestly, if Al Gore, I said, the only reason Al Gore took a stance against the oil company is because the Bushes were an oil family from Texas. I said, if he really cared about saving the ozone, then why doesn't he do something about the 2.5 pounds of junk mail I get every day that I literally have to sift through to find the pertinent mail and then just toss? And I got this scathing letter from this guy who's like, the post office is the only piece of government that people could count on. No, I disagree.
I disagree. We should get a consumer marketer. We should see if there's anybody we know that works in current marketing to talk to us about what it is that you spend money on. You know, the thing about marketing is that I've realized is that it's whenever you watch any specials on it, like I watched a bunch of things on Facebook recently because we rewatched The Social Network, and then I watched all these 2020 specials, and I was really interested in finding out more about Mark Zuckerberg and who he is and what he's like. And he's gone through a big growth spurt in the past 5 years as being like, he went from just a dorky little college guy to being thrown into the limelight, and he couldn't handle it. You see all these interviews where he's literally showered in sweat because he can't handle the questions he's being asked. To now, he's a grown, you know, he's in his mid-20s and he can confidently talk. And he's also a bajillionaire. He can talk. He's like, yeah, I'm learning Chinese so we can bring Facebook to China and stuff like that. And you're like, that's very impressive.
What you would do is, yeah, but can you twirl a sign?
Yeah, come on. That's
sure,
a
skill. You revolutionize social interaction via the internet. Yes, but, I'll give you that. But we know you stole it from a couple of twins. Aaron Sorkin told us.
Yeah, we saw it in a movie. But anytime you watch anything about Facebook, they talk about exactly that, how it changed media. And then they throw it to some marketing guy that talks about it like it's a song. They talk about marketing as if it were an art form, and they can't quite pin it down. I really get the impression that it's a bunch of people that do nothing but sell people with money on stuff that they really don't know much about. And they refer to statistics and they refer to something that sounds important and believable. And the truth is they're just really good at selling stuff. Like this one guy went on and on and on about how social media changes the way that we communicate and said that the way things have always been sold is through word of mouth. Take the wheel, for example. I'm not kidding. When the wheel was first invented, it wasn't the way it spread. It was from word of mouth. Hey, that's a great wheel. How'd you do that? I'm going to make one of those as well. Jim, I can make a wheel.
Jim, where did you get the focus group information on this?
Exactly. I'm like, you are
what
talking.
What kind of cave people?
You might as well be putting your hand under your armpit and just making fart noises, because that would have more statistical logic than whatever nonsense you're pouring out of your mouth right now.
These are two of my favorite episodes.
So I say that to say, I really do think that people who work in advertising, who work in marketing, if you know the show How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, they tell you never go into marketing, never go into advertising, because it's all made up. It's all like, I don't know, we've got money, let's try this.
Right, and how hard is it to get the job as the marketing at Facebook? Like, it's literally...
We literally sell zero ads. I have never... Nobody has ever took out an ad in any magazine that says, join Facebook! Need more friends? Facebook!
Well, you know, Mr. Zuckerberg, the reason I want to be on your marketing team is because everybody already has it. Literally, people are mocked for not having it. What, you still have MySpace or Friendster?
Do you speak Chinese? No. I have no use for you.
I can get a Rosetta Stone. He throws people out the window.
So the PS Vita here, am I booted
15
up?
Minutes.
I'll just play a little PS Vita. Am I up? My output up over there?
Yeah.
Here it goes. Ooh, I'm playing a game right now. Ooh. There's a little Rayman. Come on! How great is this game?
That is awesome. I like the...
So this is the lobby. Whenever you're in the normal part of the... If you just turn it on, this is what you hear. It's like...
Yeah.
Just kind of put you in the mood.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the lobby of your PS Vita. That's right, this is Justin. I'm the voice of everybody's PS Vita. I just want you to know, welcome to the lobby, everybody. This is where we hang out. Pay no attention to the guy twirling the arrow in the back. He just wants you to go over there and acknowledge some of your friends that have messaged you. But you don't have to do that. You can do whatever. Just hang out in the lobby. You know what I mean? Just hang out and chill.
The thing about the lobby is that I can have one game on pause at any time. So I was just scrolling through my lobby options. I can look at messages, photos, or whatever. And I can instantly go right back to the game as if it's just been on pause.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the game. But if you ever want to come back to the lobby, we got some warm cookies for you. Enjoy Rayman. He's going to be having some fun kicking people like he's that guy... The hardest working man in show business that I can't pull the name. So angry!
Who is the hardest working man in show business?
I gotta look at him. I'm so mad at myself. I hate it when I do this. I hate it when I do this because people are already yelling at
how do you not know the name?
This is this guy, James Brown.
I don't know why there's not sweet music playing. Earlier, I had some really great music in this level, and then it just suddenly stopped.
Let's talk about what you love about it.
Okay, the games. I talked about that last week, how remote play doesn't exist yet, and I really... Oh, there's a relic nearby. Gotta find it. I really wish remote play was available, but in the meantime, the games that... I have two games, Wipeout and this Rayman, and...
That's Wipeout with a capital E in the middle?
Yeah, exactly.
But that E is silent.
Not to be confused with the wonderful... game show or the game Wipeout.
Have you played the game show version of the or the video game version of the game show?
No, but I'd
like to. I don't understand how that could be fun.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't know why it'd be fun.
Unless, the fun of it is literally watching somebody get pummeled.
I think if you, like any Kinect game, if you're playing with a group of people, it's probably a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a party game where you could watch an avatar do ragdoll type animation.
Yeah, exactly, and that's kind of cool. Like, I played Disneyland Connect. That game is still incredible, but the whole time I'm up doing stuff, it's like, I feel a little silly.
Have you played it by yourself like an alcoholic?
Yeah, exactly. Because some of the levels are real. I played this Winnie the Pooh level on there, and I'm like, this is so great. And I'm bouncing around with Tigger and everything, and it's
You're talking about the cuddly, wuddly little bear, all stuffed with fluff?
Yeah, that's
big
the one.
Big fan of him.
Yeah. The wonderful thing about Tigger's, he's the only one.
Really?
That's what I learned from the
Not
game.
A second one.
No, there's only one, except for in the new movie. Oh. And then Eeyore gets to be a Tigger, too, for a little while. That's what I learned.
So you like the games?
Well, this game is so pretty. This Rayman game.
So really what you like is the graphics so far?
Well, no, and the music. I mean, listen.
Yeah, the sound is great.
The sound is fantastic. The game in and of itself, I mean.
Now, how does it sound if it's just out of the speakers? You don't have to show us, but.
It's really good. Yeah, the balance is really nice. But the thing is, if you remember the Rayman series from when we were a kid, somebody else was talking on the Facebook wall. They were like, oh, the Rayman games suck. They have terrible graphics. But back when we were kids, like, the idea of him having removed body parts and stuff was like, it was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It looked fantastic in the graphics. So what they've done now is it's all like, it looks like flash-drawn cartoons. The whole thing is like playing a giant cartoon.
All right, on.
It's beautiful. Imaginative, very clever. It's a great game all the way around. Wipeout is also fantastic. I'll have to boot that up in here a second. We'll just... These loading screens in Rayman, as it's loading the next level, you get like a silhouetted version of the game, so you can keep yourself busy by walking around. It has a high replayability because you can go back and try to get more points and more coins, find some more secrets and things. And they're interesting puzzles as far as a side scroller goes. It's like you have to think about it. It's not just about like old school side scrollers just trying to get to the end. There's
timing the jump properly.
Exactly. Or just memorizing the thing. It's more about like, how do I? And there's some freedom to it. Like, well, this time I don't want to do it that way. I want to try it this way. And it still works out. Look at this music.
Yeah, it's good.
Little Rayman.
That's what I was going to say. Is that the lobby?
No, we'll go to the lobby now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the lobby. This is Justin, your lobby voice. I was hanging out with Suri last night. She's another voice of electronic piece. But let me tell you something about that chick. If you are not asking her a question, she does not have anything to say.
You know, the thing you said earlier, you like the graphics. And the thing that always, as a voiceover artist for games, you might relate to that. Is like the first thing anybody asks you is about anything, a new console in the game. How are the graphics? And it really is like the mark of the game. I think so. It's the most noticeable. It's the thing that, how does it look?
I feel like today, I don't really, I mean, I acknowledge it when something looks beautiful, like, and it's well put together, but I don't look at things anymore and go, the graphics. Look at the design.
Yeah.
Because the graphics are so unbelievable that it's not even a thing anymore. Now it's gone to an art form and not a technical form.
It's like, how can you make it look? What can you do?
Which
like
is, again,
this
Rayman thing. Even though I told you recently that I've kind of fallen in love with Skyrim again, where it's like, oh, now I understand that I could do all things. I could be magical. I can do all that stuff.
Right.
But still, I don't like the idea of the saving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I feel like I have to save literally every time after I kill someone.
Every deuce, otherwise you're going to be thrown back.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. Because as soon as, and it takes, sometimes you could die so quickly, you know what I mean? Like, and they don't tell you, maybe I don't see it, but I don't seem to see like, oh, this is a level 30 skeleton or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, oh my gosh, this guy's throwing frost at me.
You've been playing Skyrim for 510 hours.
Yeah, and I've bailed on the dragon mission. And I started another one, but it is hard with kids. I wish we could go back in time and stop Biff from turning it into a horrible future, number one. And number two, I wish we could. Oh, which real quick, I'm going to interrupt myself. Big Pop Fun. You guys should subscribe to that podcast. It's Tom Wilson's podcast. He was Biff in Back to the Future. And I think that the listeners of Second Funniest Podcast would really get a kick out of it. I'm about 3 episodes in. The first episode, who did he have on the first episode? I think he just talked, but he told this great story about how when Universal Studios launched, I think the Back to the Future ride, when the movies were coming out, I think as a box set or something like that, they had Michael J. Fox and him, and he rode in a limo. He has this great story. And then he interviewed the guy who plays Danny McFly, which I think is Marty McFly's or Michael J. Fox's brother, if I'm not mistaken. Uh-huh. He's also Jimmy Olsen in the Superman movies. And they talk a little bit about Hollywood, how he got the roles in the Superman movies. Talks about working with Christopher Reeve and what he was like on the set. There's a lot of cool, almost kind of nerdy Little kind of behind the scenes Hollywood stuff that I think everybody who likes this podcast would really like find interesting and enjoy. And what's nice about what Tom brings to the table on his show is that he also, there's a lot of humanity that he brings to it. Like there's a lot of like at one moment he gets the I'm so mad that I can't pull the guy's name right now, but the guy who played Jimmy Olsen gets kind of choked up about his own personal life. So it's I really think it's interesting what he's doing. And when I was listening, I'm like, I got to tell the guys at Second Funniest Podcast about this. And gals, hello ladies.
What? Okay, back to this.
Sorry.
Back to the PS Vita.
Big Pop Fun. Available on Nerdist.com.
There's a little commercial in the middle of that. That was good. Remember when we used to play music in the middle of the podcast?
What do you mean?
We used to like stop and play...
like a live radio show where we would get up and get to the bathroom and all that. Take a break.
Good. Yeah. We don't do that anymore. So, The other things that are great about the PS Vita is this back touch screen. I'll have to have you play...
Which we'll talk about right after this. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I'll have to have you play Little Deviants because there's the games where you get to play on the back touch screen. And here in Wipeout, in the loading screen, when you touch the back, you can see it's kind of...
It knows you're touching the back of the Vita?
Do you not know that about it? Yeah,
no.
That's one of the things about the...
Are those buttons like...
No, it's all one giant button. See the
like a mouse pad.
Yeah, so all that is one controller on the back side of it. And when remote play happens, you notice there's only two shoulder buttons.
So
right
those
and left,
will be
your other shoulder buttons will
trigger
be back
buttons.
Here. And I imagine R3 and L3 will be down there.
Like your
as well.
Pinky or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we'll be doing that. It'll be a little
sure
weird,
that won't be challenging at
all. Yeah, exactly. Fortunately, that's never like super important.
Yeah.
But this Wipeout game is pretty great. If you're a big fan of the series, I'd say it's a must get for your PS Vita. I haven't played Uncharted yet. I'm waiting till I get it for free. But I'll check it out. But the augmented reality, I'll have to show it to you later as well, with the cards is spectacular. The soccer game.
Yeah, because you were very disappointed in the DS.
Yeah, absolutely. Very disappointed. And Little Deviants has the touch the back mode, and then it also has a scroll around the room shooting stuff mode. And that was all fun. And I think if I was 8, I'd be way into it as an adult. You're like, oh, that's neat. Now onto a real game.
But since you're 10, you're like, boring.
It's boring. But the soccer game was a little difficult to play. There was a fireworks game that's really just more to show how it works. But the diving game is an actual, like, that is a challenging, interesting game. You set your card down, and a pool forms on your coffee table with a diving board. And I haven't played it enough, but I think over time I can lay some more cards down and then get him to dive from one board into another card and have him move around. But it's an actual, like, it's about timing, and you got to hit this button now, and then when he's jumping to get through the hoop, you have to make him do a trick then. But the neat thing is you can just... In real time, I can just walk around the whole coffee table, and it knows exactly where everything is based on the augmented reality. And
that's
it's
cool.
Fantastic augmented reality. Works really well on my coffee table because it's black, so it just suddenly becomes...
Contrast
this,
like, is easy.
Yeah, this cyber reality within it. The nearby me is a little confusing, but it's cool to go to, I was at the office and I booted mine up and just saw all these people within a quarter mile of where I was at and became friends with them. We swapped some stuff, text messages, just people I don't know, but because I have my Vita with me on hand, I finally find gamers near
me. And that's because
me.
You bought the one that has a data connection built into it.
Yeah, it has a 3G, but it would do that no matter what because it would use the Wi-Fi, I think. It would able to identify, it would know where the Wi-Fi spot is and then find other people nearby. And this is the thing that I think is necessary for gaming in general, right, is that when you play your Vita now or you play your PlayStation now, you can become friends with people anywhere in the world. There's appeal to that, but there's something to be said about being able to find people that live around you that are playing games. Like, so now I'm looking for... we have some neighbors in the production company below me. I'm sure that somebody I see near me works in the floor right below me, and it'd be great to be able to, like, hey, what are you doing at lunch? Let's go play a game together and be able to build a real connection.
Yes.
God bless all of our friends on the Second Funniest Podcast Facebook page from all over the world that have found us. But it'd be cool to also make some player friends that I can actually have a relationship outside of the internet. So I think that's pretty great. What else is really phenomenal about it? The touchpad. The truth is, and reason why I've decided to go with a Vita is because I carry an iPhone with me. Before that, I carried the Droid. And there's some decent games you can get on that and such. And I was playing Chrono Trigger for a while on the Droid. But, it's a 20-year-old game. And here now, I feel like, just like the ad says, never stop playing. And now when I have downtime, I get to game. Like, we were waiting in a doctor's office. It was not a big deal at all because I have high-quality, first-grade game. The iPad is great, but it isn't a real gaming console.
Still like a Super Nintendo.
Exactly. And it's all line drawing. It's smaller levels. It's meant for wide use. But if you're a gamer, The PS Vita, I think, is the thing to carry. Even as an adult, like now I have meetings throughout the day, and I find that I have a hard time sometimes segueing out of a meeting into my work, and sometimes I'll just end up like kind of vegging out, or I'll tool around on Facebook until I feel like working. Now I give myself 5 minutes on the Vita, and I'm like, great, now I'm reset, and I can get back into work. So I recommend it. It's the console to have in your pocket at all times.
I like this. You make me want to buy one, honestly.
You should. Seriously, waiting in a restaurant for food to be delivered, because it's, you know, you can pause it and play instantly.
Is there a football game right now going on?
It's coming. It's coming. So like I showed you with the pause, like it's not a big deal to stop. Mid-jump, turn the thing off, it freezes right there. It's not going to lose your stuff. You're not going to die. And you just pick it right back up the next time you get a free moment. I was having a conversation.
What's the battery life like?
About 6 hours.
That's not bad.
Pretty good. Yeah. You just charge it every night and it stays pretty good. It's got maps on it for the 3G model. So I've got Google Maps on it. It's got Facebook, which doesn't work well. Netflix is on it as well. You know, those are like kind of obligatory apps, I think.
There's sugar flowers on the cake.
Yeah, I watched
not
it.
Not icing.
It was okay, but it's a gaming console. If you're a gamer, take this. Don't worry about spending, you know, $2-5 on little silly iPhone apps when you can actually spend some money and have a real console.
That's a solid point, because I've been thinking about, like, I was playing this game that I picked up from a friend who, like, the gaming center. David Maddox added me as a friend, who's an old friend of ours from Star Trek days at the theme park. And I realized when he added me that I could look at what games he has. I'm like, oh, I'd be interested to see what games David Maddox chooses for his iPhone.
Yeah.
So I start scrolling through there, and he has like a couple of games that I'm like, they look interesting. Like The Incident. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
It's where they just drop random things from the sky, and then you have to climb up them. Like, you just keep jumping on top of them until you get to a certain height, and then you pass the level, and then there's another one that comes up. You know what I mean?
It sounds pretty standard.
Yeah, and that's what I realized when you said that sentence. I'm like, I go, way to go, iPhone. You tricked me into,
like, they make games. And, you know, it's not their fault. They're really intended for, you know, a wide range of audiences.
Right. iPhone is really good for me, managing my to-dos, calendar, my email. I could tweet from it. I could do Facebook amazingly with it.
But the technology isn't built to do high process rendering of games and sound. You know, there's no game for the iPhone involves any sort of voice acting that I can think of. Like, it's always, I mean, very minuscule, but you're never going to play a game with it, you know. And these, you're going to...
A story.
Yeah, exactly. Uncharted, all these games are play like any other game. They're just a little smaller. And nowadays,
now, is the Uncharted a separate title, or is it the first game?
Uncharted is a brand new title.
It's a brand new title.
And it uses it's a whole new story.
Oh.
And it uses the touch interface for it. So, because you know the new Vita has a touch screen on both sides. Dual cameras, one in the front, one in the back. And so it uses parts of the game. Their slogan is play how you want to play. So there are parts where, instead of like trying to time the jump, you just draw on the screen where you want him to go, and he'll climb the wall that way.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great. You should check it out. I should get a demo and let you see it. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, that's our time. That was a quick episode, and that was good times.
Who knows what we're going to talk about next week?
Kevin endorses. We don't. I can tell you that right now. Kevin endorses the Vita. So feel free to give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. What else do I have to tell you? keep watching. I got distracted by the chat room.
It's okay, because
like,
I'm out.
Oh, I did check in with the chat room, and that was very entertaining for us. For those of you who don't listen to the show on Ustream, I know that there was a little bit of a beef that I think AJ said, and then Bradley came to our defense. Like Marty McFly did to
why are you pimping that show?
Because it's a great show, number one, and Tom Wilson is a very nice man, number two, and number three, I made that reference because that's what was in my head. But Bradley came to our defense and said, "Hey, listen, guys, they have lives. They will get to it when they get to it.
Yeah,
so back off, dudes." Which I just think it's funny hearing that voice come from Bradley's like senior portrait of over the shoulder, like, "Hey guys, I'm Bradley Pajala. I'm very friendly and charming. Please vote."
I vote for him for best chair.
But he's moved on. I want to know maybe he's moved on to some other Brooke. What if her name is other, like, oh no. Anyway, so that's our show. But anyway, that's the point I was making. After the show, if you're listening on Ustream Tuesday nights, I would guess around 8 p.m. Pacific. We do it every other Tuesday. We record all the shows for the next couple weeks. We chat in between the shows and all that jazz. That was good times.
And I'll say it again. It's like, I get that everybody wants us to do shows all the time and everybody wants to be on the show. Get your friends to listen to the show.
Right.
So we can amp our listenership so that we can do this all the time.
Right.
Until then, seriously, guys, it really is a hobby for us.
Yes.
Like, we can't. I love you guys.
I love them immense. I love the fact that's a big reason why I like doing this is because both of my podcasts have a significant audience now. And I like the idea of being appreciated. I like the idea of entertaining. But honest to God, the show costs me money. Like,
and we're not with our families. Look, we love it. Yeah. We love you guys. Yes. But don't get angry at us because we're not willing to, we can't get on a regular schedule because we're doing this in the middle of our lives.
Yes.
Justin has two children. I have a wife. Like, yes. We're busy. We're busy. I have a Vita. It takes up a lot of my time.
Yeah. Literally, he's taking up that time right now.
I am playing.
He's hitting the reset button in between the two shows. On behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye. Hey, everybody. Thank you again for still listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. One of the things I forgot to mention in these shows is that I am in the Clorox Last Comic City competition that I mentioned a month and a half ago. The voting was going to start.
I believe in you.
Here's what I need. I need your help. I need you to go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. I need you to click on the link that says Help Justin Win Last Comic City. There's $10,000 on the line. We all know... I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm hilarious. And I just need you to know that I need you to go there. I need you to tell your friends. I don't know if you have to register. I don't know anything yet because technically the voting hasn't started yet. The ladies' competition has started, but that's already been lost. You know what I mean? That's not true. So, again, please go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Click on the link that says Help Justin Win Last Comic Sitting. And that should take you right to the page where you can vote.
This
I need you.
This song was from Short Circuit 2. Did you see it?
Yes.
Yes. It was awesome. He built himself and then he controlled a crane and it picked him up and his battery was depleting. He was dying. Justin needs your help or Short Circuit will cease to live. Right. And he's the only living AI on Earth in 1988.
And if you haven't seen that movie, stop listening to this podcast and don't vote for me.
That last part wasn't true.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Again. He's